know personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke-Ewood Mills. Dyke-Ewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke-Ewood Mills. That draws us to you.
Amen. It's time for testimonies. Amen. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said it's time for testimonies. Amen. How many of you are becoming wiser through the testimonies? Ladies and gentlemen, this morning we have wonderful testimonies. Put your hands together as we welcome Eric Asante to share his testimony with us. Please encourage him as he comes on stage.
Hi, everyone. My name is Eric Asante, a Besante leader and a student of Pantine NTC. Last week, the prophet prophesied about me receiving keys from important people. And my school has built a four-bedroom apartment for our principal because her distance is quite far from the school. And the apartment is very close to Pantine. So she had a meeting with the hostel wardens about 2 weeks ago, informing them that she needed a student to stay in that apartment. And last week, she called me to her office and told me that she thought of me that I'll be the one to occupy the four-bedroom apartment. And I didn't believe it. I mean, I said, a student like me, why should I? But after Sunday, the prophet said that we received keys from important people. And just last Tuesday, she called me to office and gave me the keys to her bungalow. And I'm now living in a four-bedroom apartment. Thank you, prophet. Keep prophesying into our lives. Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout for a powerful prophecy. How many of you want to hear more testimonies? Please put your hands together as we welcome Danielle to share her testimony with us. Please encourage her as she comes to share her testimony with us.
My name is Danielle Tepeti, a level 100 student at Legon. I'm here to thank God so much. I thank God and I give him the glory for the prophecy he gave to our prophet. So on Sunday, Bishop, during the sermon, he prophesied that people get rooms. And I thank God that I got a room. I went to school and then I was told accommodation was full, so I won't get any room. So my mommy told me that from our house to school is very far, so I should stay with a friend for the meantime. I was in the room on Monday when the security man entered the room. They have to leave the room because I'm not in that room. I should go home. I called my mommy. I really cried. I called my mommy and told her everything. And Tuesday, my mommy came and we went to see the man who gives the rooms. And without any protocol, I give God the thanks. I give him all the glory that I got a room. And now I have my own keys to my room. Amen. I want to say thank you, Daddy, and continue prophesying into our lives. Amen.
Amen. How many of you are receiving personal keys to your room? The prophecies are working. We have another testimony. Please put your hands together to welcome Vanessa to share her testimony with us.
Hello, everyone. My name is Vanessa Nketia. I'm with the Methodist Bar Center and also with the Greater Love Choir. My testimony is about how God sent a helper to me through the prophecies of our prophet, Bishop Dakewon Mills. About a month ago, he said that we are going to hear good news. And I received it. I was like, no, this time around, I also have to come and give a testimony to God. And I received it so much that by the grace of God, someone just came to me and he said, he'll pay my hostel fee for me freely. And I thank God so much. So when I started school, I was in four in a room. And I had a problem with my roommate, so I had to move out of my room. So I went to see our hostel manager, and he was like, he would move me out of the room. So fortunately for me, he moved me to two in the room without paying anything. So the semester was about to end, and I was thinking about where would I go, because if the semester ends, I don't have anywhere to go to, and I don't want to join any four in the room, because when you are with them, no, like problems and so many things. So I couldn't afford for the two in the room too. Then I had to go outside to look for hostels. I went with my new roommate. But Monday, her parents came to her and they came to visit her. And I said to her that I want to go and say hello to her parents. And I went with her and I said hello to her parents and I rushed to my room. So she came back and she was like, I should come and help her with some stuff. And I went downstairs to help her. Surprisingly, she told me that her parents said they'll pay my hostel fee for me. That I don't have to pay anything. I am very, very, very grateful to God. And I thank God so much for this wonderful prophecy. And it's like... The promise they made, they fulfilled their promise. And right now, I'm in two in the room. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you for your prophecies. Continue to prophesy upon our lives. I'm so, so, so grateful. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
We have another testimony. Help me welcome Lydie to share her testimony with us.
Hi everyone, my name is Lydie Deto and I'm with the Dancing Stars by the grace of God. My testimony is about how God saved me from death yesterday after the explosion. We had a meeting here with LP Rhoda and LP Vivaldi, and right after the meeting, me and my friend Ekia, she's also from the Dancing Stars, we decided to go and take a truck by the roadside. When we got there, the cars were not coming, so we started to trek, and when the car meets us on the road, we'll pick it. And unfortunately or fortunately, we didn't get the car till we walked to Atomic Junction. We got to Atomic first in this, on the same lane with the gas station, when we saw people running and we didn't know what was going on. Then we heard the guy saying, gas explosion. Then we started running. We're coming back to Legon side. And then when we got to Presec, the gate, the first explosion had already happened. But it wasn't that strong per se, so we were still running. And we got to UPSA Junction when the second one happened. The second one was so intense. We could feel the intensity of the fire behind us. And at that point, I was already not myself. And I couldn't find my friend, Ekia. I started calling her. She fell down in the bush. Ekia, I could hear her saying yes, but I didn't know where she was saying it from. So I ran, and by God's grace, I saw her running in front of me. At that time, I was tired. At that time, I was very tired, and I was saying, Ekia, my prayer, please help me. I'm tired. She was walking. I said, Lydie, let's go. So when we got into Legon main gate, the third one happened. And then there, I didn't know. Then we saw this taxi passing, and we just jumped into the taxi. The taxi took us. We said, she should just take us towards the mall, somewhere far from this place. So we were going to the mall, and at a point, I didn't know what was going on again. And the only thing I heard was, I heard Ekia saying to someone on the phone, Lydie is passing out. So they rushed me to the mall, the clinic at the mall, and I didn't know what was going on. When I woke up, I saw they have to fix the oxygen and all that. So the lady was like, "Are you breathing well?" And I'm like, "It's better." And he said, "The doctor is not around, so they have to rush me to another hospital, maybe Nyaho or something." So by the grace of God, they sent me to Nyaho Hospital, and then I underwent the treatment overnight, and cases were coming. And by the grace of God and through the covering of our Father, the prayers from this house, we have been saved. And I really want to thank God for, I left the hospital this morning and I said, I would dance for God. Like today I'm in church and I would dance. So I came and I did all the three dances to the glory of God. And I want to thank God that day for the life of Daddy. And please, one thing came to mind when I was running after I felt the heat on my back, was that I was listening to Daddy's message on Sweet Melody, I think on Wednesday or Thursday in the morning. And he was saying in the message that he just moved some two pastors out of Congo and another town, just like that. And it was at the time he moved them that they realized they could have done more for God. And that message was coming to my head also as I was running, that have I done the more? Like, I just heard this like 2 days ago. Have I done it? And I just thank God for this morning that he had saved me. And I'm so much happy that I have a father and a prophet like this. When we sing our Daddy Precious One, I mean that he is my dad. I just don't say it. So God bless you, Daddy, for being the father over our lives. Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for powerful testimonies. We have more testimonies. How many of you want to hear more testimonies? This testimony is coming from Richmond Gay Hearts, 1100 students who joined the church last week Sunday. It says, "I want to give God all the glory for the prophecies that have come to pass in my life. I received a new phone to the glory of God and foreign currency, and was also delivered from the gas explosion. I've never given a testimony before in my life. When I saw people giving testimonies last week, being my first time, I had doubts, but I was proven wrong by God. I have three testimonies. Exactly when the prophet Dark Edward Mills prophesied that we should raise our phones for good news, I immediately got a text from my grandfather in the USA that he has sent me $100 through my mom for me. And the prophet also said that we would get a new phone. And when he prayed, I believed strongly in the prayer, and I got an Infinix phone just yesterday. For my third testimony, I left Atomic Junction 30 minutes earlier before the explosion, because I always pass through the same place the explosion happened to go home. I really want to thank God for everything he has done for me through the prophet. I urge everyone to believe in the prophet that God has sent us. A first-timer like me has experienced all the prophecies practically. Thank you, Bishop. Put your hands together for this powerful testimony. Our final testimony is coming from Ben Michael. I really want to thank God for raising pastors and prophets like Bishop Dark Edward Mills, and also thank Bishop Grayley for allowing God to use him to transform my life and ministry. I've been listening to Bishop's messages and the prayers. In fact, through Bishop's books, I have become wiser and a leader. I'm now leading my late father's ministry with 12 branches and 12 pastors. They see me as a very great person. I am a young man in my early 30s, but these pastors are far older than me, come to me for counseling. I have camps for these pastors, pray for them, and by the grace of God, I ordained them as pastors. Who am I, if not Bishop Dark's books, messages, and prayers? My late dad has never been invited outside Ghana to preach, but through Bishop's books, I have been to Nigeria, Benin, and Togo to preach and teach people how to have camps, start churches, and how to utilize Sundays fully. As I'm writing now, there's a pending invite to Liberia to help a pastor friend start a church. I go with Bishop's books and tapes. God bless you greatly. Never underestimate this great gift of God for us. Thank you, Bishop, for being a blessing to me. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the powerful testimonies. And I believe there are so many people here who escaped from the gas explosion yesterday. Bishop prophesied that we will escape sudden death. And I know that there are more testimonies. And if you're excited, put your hands together for powerful testimonies as we welcome Ida.
Stir it up. Come on, brother. Come on and stir it up. Yeah. Gift of God, you must stir it up. Oh, oh, oh. It's been a long, long time since I called you and I chose you. Place my call upon your life. I gave you a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now it's time for you to stir it up. The gift of God, you must stir it up. Come on, brother. Come on and stir it up. God, you must stir it up. Can't you see? You're getting a little bit older. How long is it gonna take for you to see? How much more time do you need to stir up the gift? You've got to use the gift God gave to you. Come on and stir it up. Oh, oh, yeah. The gift of God, you must stir it up. Hey, come on, sister. Come on and stir it up, yeah. The gift of God, you must stir it up. You remember how I called you when you were so young. You were so fresh and you were so excited. The gifts and callings, they are without repentance. If I make you a prophet, you will always be a prophet. Come on and stir it up. God, you must stir it up. Come on, sister. Yeah. Come on and stir it up. The gift of God, you must stir it up. You must stir it up. You need to stir up the gift of God. Stir it up. Oh, my. The gift of God, you must stir it up. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Come on and stir it up. Yeah. The gift of God, you must stir it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now ask yourself why so few are chosen. Have you asked yourself why so few are shining? They have neglected the gift I gave them. See, many are called, but few are chosen. You've got to stir up the gift and obey the call. Believe the gift, use the gift, stir up the gift. Come on and stir it up. Gift of God, you must stir it up. Oh, oh, oh. stir it up. You need to stir it up. Stir up the gift. Come on, stir it up. The gift of God. You must stir it up. Stir up the gift and callings of God. Yeah. Stir it up. The gift of God. You must stir it up.
You are. Your hand.
replaces me. Your voice overcomes me. She is tearing me up, daughter of Jerusalem. But do not stir up, hold it right there. Do not stir up. You, O daughters, daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up my love until it please. See, there's a time for love, but this is not the time. When it pleases him, we will share our love, but do not stir up. Do not stir up my love, my love, my love. Do not stir up. Do not stir up.
Jesus, whoa,
David, Jesus lover, the greater lover. Oh, Jesus lover, you're my prince of peace. Oh, Jesus lover, yeah, you are the greater lover. Oh, Jesus lover, yeah, you're the greater lover. Oh, yeah, Jesus lover, you're my prince of peace. Jesus
thank you.
singing, Sunday dancing. Well, that's why I really like Sunday morning. Oh, 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 that's why I really, oh, 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 yeah. I really like Sunday morning. Sunday morning preaching. Sunday morning prayer. Sunday morning communion. I really. Love Sunday morning. Sunday morning preaching and teaching and prayers and singing and dancing on Sunday morning. Woo. Oh, Along the way, she said, I've got something to say, and she told me of the Savior. He came, he died to set us free from a life of sin and shame. I gave my heart to him that day. That's the reason I can tell you. To keep preaching, keep teaching, tell me all about the Savior's love for all. That's what friends are for. Keep praying, keep sharing, share the love of Jesus to us all. Oh, yeah. 'Cause that's what friends are for. This way, since he came into my life, I have never been the same. What a difference Jesus makes. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and there is no other name by which we can be saved. Will you give your heart to Jesus? Oh, keep preaching, keep teaching. Everyone must know our Savior died for all. 'Cause that's what friends are for. Keep sharing and keep giving. We must share the gospel everywhere. Friends are for. Keep preaching, don't stop teaching. Tell me all about the Savior's love for all. 'Cause that's what friends are for. Keep praying and keep sharing. We must share. That's what friends are for. stop giving, don't stop teaching. We must share the gospel everywhere. 'Cause that's what friends are for.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for my favorite part of the service this morning. God is going to speak to you through his prophet. And if you're excited, if you are ready for a prophetic encounter, make your loudest noise as we welcome Bishop Dagger on
Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for today. Thank you for the blessing that is already happening to us. We love you. We thank you. We worship you, Lord. Guide us by your mighty spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I believe that God has already spoken to us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. How many of us love wine? How many love the Spirit? Okay, so be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, isn't it? Now verse 19, speaking to yourselves, all right, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, okay? Singing and making melody in your heart. Sometimes some people wonder, why is Ida singing? And some people think, oh, we should get on to the next thing, or what is serious? All right? If you want a more serious place, you can go somewhere else. But the reason why she's singing is because the Bible says, you speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the songs are supposed to speak to us. And the songs that we have here speak. They are written, they are anointed songs written to speak to us. Amen. So they speak to us. Amen. So thank God. How many sometimes are spoken to by the songs? All the time, isn't it? Whenever she's singing Peter Lover, I know that somebody somewhere is hearing. When she's singing, they know Peter, isn't it? Peter, they are just names that we use, but you know, it can be Osek, it can be Kofi, it can be anybody. Alright? Glory be to God. Now, today I'm not going to preach for long. I've been preaching all week, so I'm going to have short preaching. But it's going to be powerful. Now, how many of you have noticed that we have entered this new land here? Yeah. So now this place is for us. It's part of the church now. What a blessing. So, gradually, we are flexing our expansion joints. As the church is being built, your house is also being built. In Jesus' name. And as you can see, it's natural air conditioning before the artificial one too comes. All right. Now, please, you can sit down. And we thank the Lord for what He's doing. Now, tonight we have revival at 7. At 6. Revival at 7 will start at 6. Not much preaching, but just singing, happy, flowing. All right. Today I'm sharing with you about the spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a message for young people. Ask your neighbor if you are young. You see, that question is a trick question. Because sometimes you see people who feel that they are old. But you are not old. You are suffering from premature aging in your mind. Yes. Because you can see somebody in her 20s behaving like a big mommy and auntie. You know? You don't even understand where you develop those mature way of, you know, behaving. Like an auntie. And when they marry, they are like headmistresses. People have to apply for permission for so many things. How many want to live with a very strict woman? How many want to be a strict woman and live with your subjects in the house, shouting at everybody? Oh. 2 Timothy 1 is short, so listen carefully before it's over. You see that you didn't listen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. All right, so you see that to be a son, you don't have to be biological. For somebody to call you his son or his daughter. You see? Now, he's writing to his dearly beloved son. Okay? Now, look at this. Everybody, I want to tell you something that may be a bit surprising to you. Do you know that not so many people grow up in a family like this is the father, this is the mother, and these are the children. How many didn't grow up in a house where it was only you, only your father, your mother, and then the children? How many of you didn't, your house was not like that? But you stayed with one mother. Maybe the father wasn't there. Or you stayed with your uncle. Or stayed with your auntie. Or stayed even with a friend. Some of you grew up with friends. Your mother's what? Your mother's boyfriend, yes. Your mother's boyfriend. Your mother and your... You thought it was an uncle, but it was a boyfriend. Raise up your hand if you saw something like that. Not a boyfriend, but I mean. Most of us didn't grow up that way, per se. There was a father somewhere, there's a mother somewhere. Definitely you must have a father and a mother. But maybe you are staying with your father with his second wife, isn't it? Or your father with his girlfriend, isn't it? You people are behaving like you don't understand what I'm talking about. I don't know. I don't like. Raise your hand if you grew up under circumstances which were not perfect, husband, wife, children. Raise your hand like this. You sit at the dining table. There is daddy, here is mommy, and here are the three children or the two children. If your house was not exactly like that, raise your hand like this. Are you all here? Yes. So, thank you. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because, listen carefully, some of us, we live our whole life saying, if I was with my mother, like my life would be different. If I was with my own father, if I was, I've been staying with my uncle, but if it was my father, I've been staying with my father's girlfriend or my father's, what? This thing. What is this thing? It covers all things. I'm staying with my father's this thing. Huh? It covers all aspects. Are you with me? I am saying that you have many people who do not do well because they think that they did not have an ideal home. But I want you to know that most people don't have that ideal home. Few people have this type of thing. That's my experience as a pastor in church. Alright? So, what does God do? God gives fathers, he gives mothers, and he gives other people to make up for the deficiency that you had or that you have. Are you with me? And so you may have to accept other people to be mommies to you, fathers to you, and you may also have to accept other people to be sons or daughters to you, apart from the biological ones. Now, one of the things that I've noticed is that people who have too dependent on the biological, the biological children or biological parents have often a deficiency because many times even the best or the goodest parent hasn't got something or can't do something for you. The goodest. Are you with me? So, if you do not grow to humble yourself to flow, not only with somebody who gives you money. Somebody who gives you money doesn't make the person your just your father. People who have been fathers to me, they didn't give me money. There's more than money that you are supposed to receive in this life. Sometimes even how to behave. You may not even know that there is another way of behaving or another way of eating. Yes. You know, some people, when they hold a fork and knife, you think they are going to stab you. Because they don't know how to hold a fork and knife truly. And all that can be, you can be blessed with that. Are you with me? Yeah. And when we go to heaven, I don't know whether your family is called Ose, Kwachi, Abwaji, Ameta Weble, Enyagbamagbo. I don't know. Huh? But in heaven, these families will not exist. Now, we are all a mixture of people we don't even know who we really are. It's true. If you take a gun, guns say two things I've heard from guns, because I'm also a gun. Number one is that we have coming from Israel somehow. And number two, from Brazil. Yes. And through Nigeria. Yeah, was it not true? I mean, not from Brazil. Guns. You've not. Some guns are from Brazil. Which ones? Our. From Brazil. So I'm finding out today that I'm from Brazil. But I don't have a Brazilian passport. But our. I think Jamestown. Is it Jamestown? Jamestown are from Brazil. And which of the guns are from Nigeria? All guns came from Nigeria. We came to from Israel, through Nigeria, through Togo, and settled in Ghana. And where did we from Brazil? Are the merchants that came to Jamestown from Brazil? They married the guns. So those are what? Nelson's Jamestown people. Wow. Azus. Who? Copies. Kofis. Kofis are from Brazil. Huh? So you will be surprised where you come from. If you go into your blood, you'll be shocked. Are you with me? So don't be too family conscious. And learn to accept fathers, especially in church. Fathers, mothers, people that God brings to supplement whatever he gave you through the biology and the biological system. You know, one day I was talking to brother about his marriage, and he was looking at me funnily, you know, and I told him, listen, what I am sharing with you, I never saw it in my house. I learned it in church, and I'm trying to share something. If you are looking at me in a funny way, you know, you can sometimes see that somebody is looking at you in a funny way, like he doesn't really believe what you are saying. And I told him I learned it in church. I learned it from Fred Price. Yes, listening to him preaching, it gave me certain keys, certain inputs. So Timothy says, my beloved son. So Timothy's father was Paul. But Paul did not marry. At least he wasn't married when we know him. Maybe he was divorced. You know, but he wasn't with a wife all the time that we knew him. And that's probably why he was so fruitful. Yes. Yes. Somebody like Peter was married, so you see that he couldn't do so much. You can quarrel with me, but I'm telling you what's in the Bible. So Timothy, my son. So you must freely call somebody your father. When you sense that God has given this person as your father, say, oh, this is my father. The other day I saw some young men of God, one was calling someone else his father. He was also a young person. But he was recognizing that the person had become a father to him. So please, don't struggle with what God does for you. Amen? Yes. And sometimes when you grow, you may find out that you may have to adopt a child as a child. You know, there are all things that exist. So that's this. God is just looking after us somehow. All right. Now, number 3, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in prayers night and day. Straight away we are blessed. It shows that there are some people you must always pray for without ceasing. And then number 2, prayers must take place in the night and in the day. So those of you who only pray in the day, but you never pray in the night, something is missing in your life. You have to pray in the night and in the day. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, I think we are being blessed in this book. It says, Paul said, I really want to see you. Why? Because I am mindful of thy tears, or your tears are in my mind. Now, why did he say your tears are in my mind? What he's saying is that I know about the things that are making you cry. Do you see? I know about what makes you sad. Do you understand? And that is what Paul was saying to Timothy. Now, some of us, we are more than James Bond. Like Secret Service. There is nothing about, when we come around, we are perfect. My father had a horse called Correcto Perfecto. Correcto Perfecto. It's like everything about us is correct. And everything about us is perfect. What I want you to know is that coming around being Mr. Perfect and Miss Perfect, Perfecto, Correcto Perfecto, cannot make you a true son. Yeah? Because there is nothing like that in the world. Everything is perfect and everything is correct. If you are here and everything in your life is perfect, raise your hand immediately. Oh, there's one hand over there. Anybody? In your life, not everything is perfect. But okay, put down your hand. How many know some people who look perfect even when you talk with them? So you see, you are all raising your hand for everything. So it means you all know such people. So such people must be here. The ones you know are here. Yes. Everything looks perfect. There is nothing like that in this world. So you never become a true son or a true daughter when you continuously present the picture of perfection. Wow. Yeah, because there's nothing like that. We can never go deeper than the surface. Yeah. We say, oh, how is that? Oh, beautiful. How's everything? Powerful. How's marriage? Oh, wonderful. Pastor's wonderful. How's your wife treated? Oh, excellent. Magnificent. How's the business? Oh, it's working. It's wonderful. Everything is always wonderful. Everything is wonderful and perfect. So how can Paul be mindful of your problems? Of your tears? Don't you also have tears? That's what keeps us apart and does not allow us to become real sons and real daughters. Yeah. True. We always present a perfect picture. So don't at least there is not everywhere you undress, but there are some places that you are supposed to be able to undress freely. Yes, when you are home. So when you are in your father's house and you are truly a son or a daughter, you are supposed to be able to show tears. You see, I hope you are with me. Yeah. Can you imagine, you know, I had that actually. It made it difficult for me. In my final year, my final exam, I had a patient. He was a young boy, and he had a serious condition. But when he came in, I asked him, how are you? He said, fine. What is wrong with you? This is my final year, long case. I have 40 minutes. And this boy, I said, what is wrong? He said, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. Meanwhile, he's in the hospital. So, why are you here? Oh, yeah, I'm happy. We are here. I'm from the other side and I'm here. It took me a long time to find, but he had been on the ward for such a long time. And he felt okay. So what can you do for somebody who always has everything okay? Nothing. You just say, how is everything? So you're okay. You're blessed. Bye. See you later. It's working. Beautiful. Meanwhile, the pastor can see in your eyes. Me, I can see in people's eyes. I don't know whether it's spiritual. Maybe it's spiritual, but I can see through eyes. When I look at people, sometimes I see different things. I've seen in eyes, by looking at eyes, I can sometimes see love. Sometimes I can see sadness. Sometimes I can see worry. You know, sometimes when I look at them, I can see stress. Yes. You know, there's a man of God, I used to watch him on television, and when I look at him, I could see stress. Then one day he announced that he was getting divorced. But I was always seeing on it. I said, this man is under so much stress. I don't know what's happening in his life. It was very powerful and everything, but I could see, I said, there's some stress in the man. Yeah. Tears. Whatever makes you cry, receive a handkerchief from heaven to wipe away your tears. In Jesus' name. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that the same faith is in thee. Wow. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. So the quality of your life depends on the quality of hands laid on you. So my one of the things I'm doing is to counsel everybody. How many have been to me for personal counseling? Raise your hands. How many have not been? Huh? You better see, who should they see? Happy Lulu only? Okay. And so on. Vivaldi and Lulu. The lady pastors here, you know them. Stand up, Zoe, Lulu, and they have Erica. Where's Erica? Yes. You should see them. Put pressure on them. I have not come to see the prophets for personal counseling before. Even 3 minutes. Sometimes when I see you, I will immediately know what I have to tell you. Yes. No. Listen. Because it's a spiritual thing. Yes. We are not here to give career counseling or whatever. It's a word. Amen. You know? So, the few words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and all these guys changed their lives. Because he was talking to Nicodemus when he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So make sure, you know, I'm only able to see a few every Sunday, but you must force to come. And other pastors too. It's very important. You know, your life will be blessed. Amen. And I pray for everybody. I want to lay hands on you. 31st night, usually we lay hands, but I have to lay hands on you. So the devils that are in you will come out. The devils don't like laying on of hands, because in Luke 18, the woman who was bent over for 18 years, you know, the Bible says that Jesus laid his hands on her. And he said, whom Satan has bound for 18 years. So he said, woman, thou art loosed. Then in Luke, and then he also laid his hands on her. So the devil that has been there for 18 years, you know, he laid his hands. If you read on to the next verse, you see that he laid his hands on her, and the Satan went out of her. Continue. And he laid his hands. Look at it, verse 13. He laid his hands on the woman. Yes. You know, and immediately she was made straight. So A devil that has been there for 18 years, you'll be surprised that a hand that is laid on you, you know, can make that power break from your life. So that's why I like to lay hands. But I like to lay hands by faith, not just anywhere and not just all the time. All right? Because it's a spiritual impartation. All right? Beautiful. Verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So these are three good spirits that every Christian should have. The spirit of power. And amazingly, the spirit of fear is what he mentions here. But this is actually one of the top mental illnesses in the world. Phobias, fears. I think I told you some of them. The things that people are afraid of. And especially girls. Girls have a lot of fears. Just like how brothers have a lot of lusts. The girls have a lot of fears. And they are both destructive. If you have a man who is following his lusts all the time, it's not nice to marry or to be with. It's not a nice experience at all. Because he lusts after everyone he sees. Ha! Chale, final. Wow! Look at the fair one. Look at the dark one. Look at the round one. Look at the slim one. Are you listening? Beautiful. And it's not nice to be with a woman of fear. She's never happy. She's always worried. She looks at you. What are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you now coming? Are you sure? You love me. Are you sure? I'm happy to see you. Are you sure you are happy to see me? I like you. You like her. It's not me you like. You are a stupid fool. Anyway, it's not that you are a stupid fool, but you have a spirit of fear. Fear. It is demonic. There are people that cannot be happy. And I read a book once, you know, the man was a total unbeliever. I can see from all his writings that he's an unbeliever. But he had one chapter in his book, and the chapter said, avoid the unhappy and unlucky. Avoid unhappy and unlucky people. You know? Avoid the unhappy and unlucky. So there are some people that are always unhappy. And they are afraid of something that makes them not happy people. It's not nice to stay in a room with such a person. It's a bad experience. I pray you will have a nice person who is happy. Hey! And when a man has such a spirit, it's double power. Because it's a female spirit that has come to the man. Oh, why can't I be a female spirit? There are sicknesses which are female sicknesses. Like breast cancer. It's a female, but it can be in a man. And it's more serious when it's in a man. It's more aggressive. Yes. And it's something that we find it more in women than it's come to the man. And the last two, when it moves to a woman, and you see a woman standing there. One day I was standing by a lady who was having such a spirit of lust. I saw she was staring at her. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm just looking at that guy who is walking. Wow. I said, hey, Lord, save me from a marine spirit. When it is in a woman, it's more serious. It's aggressive. Yeah. Are you still around? Okay, now, say three important spirits. I need them. Say it again. Three important spirits. I need them. What is the first one? Spirit of power. Number two, spirit of love. And number three, spirit of a sound mind. All right? So I want to continue a bit on the spirit of a sound mind. Now, what is a mind that is not good also? Look at Colossians chapter 2. I'll give you two bad minds you should not have. Colossians 2 verse 18. Spirit of a sound mind, part 2. All right? You should not have a fleshly mind. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. All right? Another scripture says, Romans 8:6, that to be spiritually minded is life, to be carnally minded is death. So, fleshly minded. All right? Now, from today, your mind will no more be a fleshly mind. What is a fleshly mind? In a brother, when you see a sister and she is to you something that has to be slept with. Do you understand? Your mind is fleshly. It cannot be. It's not normal. No, it's not normal for some people, but it's normal for some others. Because your mind can be so fleshly, or any female is sex. And you see, mind you, it doesn't go after you marry. It can get worse. So if you don't cure that fleshly mind, it's gonna go bad. Yeah. Everybody you see will be, I have to sleep, sex. So that's why the Bible says we should treat the young ladies as sisters. And when you see your sister, you don't, how can I sleep with you? What do you think? So when your mind is totally tuned towards sex, everything's flesh. Flesh. When you see her walking. Yes. There was a school that when a lady walks through the school, they start singing, to whom to whom for, to whom does it belong to whom to whom for, to whom does it belong to whom to whom for, to whom does it belong to whom to whom for, to whom does it belong to whom to whom for, to whom does it belong to whom for, to whom does it belong to. Hey! So when you see a lady walking, you start singing. To whom does it belong to? I wonder which school that was. I don't want to mention the name, but I think I know an alphabet that it belongs to. Huh? P. Not M. From today, how many brothers are going to relate with sisters when you see her as, oh, as with females as, oh, my sister. Oh, my sister. My sister. One brother said to me, he said, in my days, if I meet a girl and I don't sleep with her within 7 days, he says, then I'm late. He says, then I'm late. As soon as he sees you, he starts planning. You are delivered from wicked minds in Jesus' name. Fleshly minds. Wow. Rather, you should be. So, when you are fleshly, you see that when a girl puts on the red lipstick and brings out 1/4 of her breast, you see that when you see, you say, look at chicken, look at chicken. And it starts to work on you. But when you don't have the fleshly mind, when you see that, you start to feel sorry for the people. Say, oh, look at something. Oh, Father, Sheba Kabayabola Bashabidola Bada 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 Pado da Balaba. Send your salvation to this one, Lord. Have mercy on this lady, Lord. Yes. Or you receive a word of knowledge that this is a strange woman. But when you have a fleshly mind, when you see that, and they are targeted, they know people with fleshly mind. Just bring out one quarter, just pull it out this way. And paint the lips, shorten the skirt, show a bit of whatever. Just pull your leg like this. Just shake your leg like this. Shake the back. The brother is down. Receive supernatural power against such fleshly mind in Jesus' name. Hey! Fleshly minds. Second mind that you are not going to have is a corrupt mind. 1 Timothy 6 verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Again, people with corrupt mind, the mind is spoiled. In fact, look at what the Bible is saying, that your mind is spoiled. When you think that gaining money is godliness. Yes. Your mind is spoiled. And that's how the mind of a large part of the church is. Where we think that to get money is to be, is godly. Yes. It's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And your mind is twisted. Money affects everything in your mind. Yeah. If I was thinking that money is godliness, I wouldn't have come to a First Love church. Because the First Love church is, you are just about to spring out into prosperity. But many don't have much. Yeah. Many don't have much here. So, but I thank God that my mind is not corrupted in that way. And that to me, whether you have money or not, a soul is a soul. And it's precious to God. Hallelujah. Now, let me share with you minds that are sound minds. Number one, and I told you short today. Number one, a fervent mind. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. Fervent mind. Fervent mind. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, and your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Amen. So fervent mind speaks of heat, zeal. Amen. Zeal. Especially zeal. So your fervent mind is a zealous mind. A mind that is zealous. So how many are going to have a zealous mind for Jesus Christ? Everything for God, then your zeal comes. There are some people who are phlegmatic, cool about, you see, phlegmatic, sir, let me tell you something. If you are married to a phlegmatic or you are closely related to a phlegmatic, a time can come. Phlegmatics are the nicest people to be with because they flow with everything. But a time comes when you start to see your phlegmatic friend as wicked, because the phlegmatism goes away when certain things come up. If the person likes money, the phlegmatism goes when he sees money. But when it comes to the church, it's phlegmatic. Cool. Ask your neighbor, by the way, do you know what is phlegmatic? Do you know what is phlegmatic? Please check it after church. Eh? Check it after church. It's a type of temperament. All right? So people's phlegmatism goes. When it comes to certain things, they're very cool. then often when it comes to something for themselves, then you'll be shocked that the person rises up with zeal and energy and is moving. A person who cannot build a house, you see the person is building. But it has to do with you personally. So you must have a zealous mind when it comes to everything and about God, about all the things that are in the Word of God. Number two, an eager mind. Eager. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. It says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked many people." All right? It says, "I know the forwardness of your mind," which is eager. What is a forward mind? A mind which is even suggesting things. A mind which is fast thinking. Forward. Fast forward. So it's like you talk to the person, and the person is eagerly, like I say, "Oh, can we have an outreach on Saturday?" The person says, "Oh, yes. We can even have it here. Or we can have it there. Or can we do it? Can we do a drama at this time? Or can we have a church?" "Oh, yes, we can have a church here." It's like the person even has suggestions. Look, what I'm telling you, when you work with a boss, after some time, they start to differentiate between positive people and negative people. You know, when I decided that I was moving from the Kodesh, it was actually a decision to move from the Kodesh. When I was deciding to move from the Kodesh, I had a choice. And I decided to choose between two churches to either come here. This was actually my second choice. But when I thought about the young people, I thought that they are more eager. They are more eager. If you suggest, can we dance? We can dance. Can we sing? We can sing. Can we act? We can act. Everything, they can do it. And they even bring you how it will be done. That's the difference. It's a very important mind. And it will make somebody choose you 1,000 times over a person that he doesn't choose. Yes. Because you see, I'm always doing something. And I'm always looking for people with forward or eager minds. People who are ready to implement and try something new. Yeah. So I'm telling you, you know, because many of us are going to work in the secular workplace, and promotion from a certain point onwards is not by exams. You can have PhD, masters, what have you, but they will never choose you. They will never like you. Yes. A point comes where they choose somebody. They say, "Oh, okay, let this person. This person." And usually, they always want an eager person who has an eager mind. So he said, "I always remember the forwardness of your mind." Put the scripture back. He says, "The forwardness of your mind." The way your mind seems to come up forward, eagerly, with an idea or with something about whatever the problem is, that this can rather work this way. But you see, when your mind is not like that, when the person brings the suggestion or the idea, you are quiet. Then the person starts to interpret your quietness as negativity, because a lot of quietness is negative. Suppose you come to the room and you say, "Oh, let's go out and do this," and there's no response, quietness. It's negative. Suppose you come, "So I think that it would be wonderful if we go here and we do this and that." No sign, no word. What does it mean? It's negative. Let us go and eat here. "Oh, this other place is also nice. So should we go there or here?" There's no, in your case, there's silence, there's no response. You see, try to understand why people prosper and why people go higher and why some people are not chosen. Even to marry you as a girl. You have somebody who is so beautiful. She doesn't speak a word. I've noticed that the girls who talk, they are the ones who are chosen. Proper speaking. Yes. And just sit there with your hair and your makeup and your lips. Saying, and that's a sound mind. It's a good mind. Anyway, I can tell you, me, I'm always assessing how people think. Oh, yes. the closer you are to me, the more your mind is working well. And usually I start assessing your mind and filtering your mind from a distance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you have to know what is it. The mind is the brain box. The mind is the engine of the person. Yeah. So you better be careful how your mind is working. Be active. When you sit, there's a meeting, tell yourself, wake up. Be active. There are people, you even tell them, speak out. They continue to speak out. Man is the one. Speak out. Number three. A fervent mind. A what mind? Forward mind. And then a willing mind. The next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 12. I'm talking about the spirit of a sound mind. These are all minds in the Bible. It says, for if there be first a willing mind, willing, ready to flow, it is accepted. And this is talking about offerings. God is even saying here that if there is a willing mind, then it will be accepted. If you are willing to be accepted. And it's accepted not according to what you have. It's accepted according to what you have, not according to what you have not. But notice this. If there be, first of all, a willing mind. Some people have heard me taking offerings. You hear me telling people, even if you brought an envelope, and I give you an envelope, bring the envelope back if you change your mind. Don't be worried. Don't pressurize yourself to bring money or to bring. You can change your mind. You must be happy. You know, I can't remember giving something and not being happy that I'm giving. Yes. I'm happy. I feel it's an achievement. Yes. To me, I feel it's an achievement that I don't notice tithe paying. Because anything I get, it's at least 90 or 80% of it is for me. So I don't calculate with it. I don't calculate with full amounts. Oh, yes. Long ago. It's an achievement. I don't even think about it. Yeah. Are you still around? Yeah. Willing. It's willing. It's free. I'm so happy to give. I'm happy to give. Yeah. Marriage willingnesses. If you ask your husband to do something, and it's like you are dragging him out of the world to help, he's not willing. Or if you're asking your wife to do something, not willing, very unwilling to do this, to do that, to do whatever. Now, there's more burden on ladies when you marry. And marriage is such a small thing. Those of you who girls who want to marry so badly, you see them planning for the wedding. You know, you are planning for 2 hours. You know, after 2 hours, a reality begins. That's what you should be planning for. Yes. Marriage is not a wedding. More than wedding. You need to be willing, eager. How many have noticed that older ladies don't look so willing? Like they haven't told you anything about their lives or their marriage, but when you even look at them, you feel that they are not so willing about certain things. Raise your hand if you... Yes. Only those in the front understand. Those at the back don't understand. You see, you don't even look willing. You don't have the forward mind. You are not eager. No fervency. How about this side? You see, when I'm preaching and you have a forward mind, you even just... I mean, you even have more eagerness. Yeah. But when you are preaching, everybody is quiet. It's like what you are saying is not necessary, or, well, we've heard it and it's enough, and so on. Yes. Even when I speak in tongues, your mind should be fast to even realize that the tongues is something good that is being said for you. So you even say, amen, I receive it. Makaya balababa. It's a prophecy for you, even though you don't understand it. Should be receiving good things. Sit down. Eagerness. Willing. Yeah. You know, I knew a man, he had 4 children. Then after some time, he went to have 2 children with another woman. So I was with him and I was asking him, why is he doing what he's doing? He said, I was not so happy, but he still said, does your wife have sex with you? He said, yeah, but she's not willing. Unwillingly, she does. She can just say, okay, come. Okay, come. Okay, what? Come. And do whatever you want to do. Huh? Your mind is not working well. And later on, when the man has gone fishing all over in the different waters, he has found a tuna, he has found mackerel, he has found sardines, he has found even a shoyi, a grouper. Grouper fish. He has found a barracuda fish, swordfish, and he has eaten all. And you are wondering why. Because your mind wasn't working well. You were testing the waters and pushing away what you should have been drawing with your eagerness. We all have a picture in our mind that, the husband goes out to work and comes home at 5, which doesn't happen. We all know nobody comes home. And that when he comes and he knocks on the door, when he comes, there is a smiling, eager, and it is one of the most non-happening events in the whole wide world. At all. It's only happening in fairy tales. And movies. Like if there's going to be a film where the man will be captured or the wife will be captured, then they show that at the beginning of the movie. And the man is says, hello, honey, I'm home. Honey, I'm home. Hi, darling, how's this? And you show them. It's a movie magic. But your family will be like that. Your house will be like that. Receive it. Hey, there's going to be movie magic in your house. Beautiful. Ask the nearest sister, are you willing? Are you willing? Keep watching. Something is coming. Psalm 119:24. Thy testimonies are my counselors. Amen. Thy testimonies are my counselors. Amen. Now, when we hear testimonies in church, like our sister who was testifying, four people in one room, two in one room, you see, a lot of the quarrels and so on come from the other three in the room. Were they boys or they were girls? It comes from girls. So let's stop quarreling. Eh? The girls, they know that I like them. That's why I make them lady. That's why I make them lady pastors. You hardly get a church with so many lady pastors. Yes. Yes. That's why I have to tell you the truth. Amen. All right. The next, number four, sound mind. Number four, lowliness of mind. Humble mind. Humble mind. Philippians 2, let nothing be done through strife, but in lowliness of mind. So we must have a humble mind. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. Yes. All through the years, myself, Bishop Saki, Bishop Eddie, when I travel, Bishop Saki will not say that he is going to preach. It's always Bishop Saki who preaches usually. But it's never like, oh, I should preach. And Bishop Eddie has to preach. This one, there's nothing we've not. Because they rather fight among themselves about who should preach. Who should not preach. You preach. I don't want to preach. That's the problem that they have. Yes. Well, you see, it's not a big mind. So I'm the man of God. If he's not around, I must be the man of God. But as soon as you have that, you see that people are not humble. Yes. So all through our churches, we don't have that thing. So fighting over who is the whatever. As soon as you have, you see they are children. And they are full of pride. Yes. So when you are humble, you just defer. I said, oh, please. It's your honor. You go ahead. All right. So let us have a lowly mind. And all our beloveddoses are going to work. All our relationships. All our marriages. Wow. When you marry, always be thanking your spouse. Oh, thank you. Is that how they do it? Beautiful. Are the ladies going to be humble? Let me talk to girls. You know, I'm not afraid of you. Yeah. I'm not hearing amens on this, the front. I hear those of you in the front are not saying amen. Is it because, sit down, is it because you are in the front? Give me some water. I think these girls feel very big. You are not saying, when I'm preaching, you are not saying amen. Huh? Say amen properly. Next time, sit in the front and don't say amen. Listen. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Only. We will never quarrel unless there's pride. I've never had an argument with Bishop Saki before. For 20, how many years we have been together? Never. That's never happened. No. Never. He has never challenged me, has never been rude to me. Never. Only by pride will there ever be something like that. And he's older than me. It's not my age. He's older than me. It's not my age. The day that he would have an argument with me, something would be changing. And it's not that I'm right. I'm not always right. I know that. So let's come to marriages. Is it easy to understand now? the first argument that you have, it shows that somebody is proud. Somewhere. And who will be proud? Who are we concerned about who is proud? Is it the head or the person under? Or you don't get what my message is not very clear. The Bible says, only by pride comes contention or quarrels. Only. It's the only way that it comes. Yes. So the fact that we don't have we have a quarrel, it shows that the boss and the person under him there's some bigness somewhere. If the president of Ghana is having a wild argument with the vice president, the president speaks, then the vice president says, nonsense. I don't think that is. Then the president speaks and says, what do you think you're doing? Because you won the election, you think that whatever. If I've not assisted you, do that. What is happening? There's a problem. It cannot be. It means the vice president feels too big. The assistant feels too big. Okay, let's come to marriage. Who is the president in a marriage? Who is the president? Does he have to stand for elections to be the president? He has already won elections from heaven. God has elected him as the head. In Genesis, he won elections. So where you see the arguments, not understanding anything, not agreeing with anything, the raising of voices, it shows that somebody who is the vice has become too big for his position or her position. So just remember it as a symptom. I didn't write the Bible. Look at the scripture, Proverbs 13 verse 10. Amazing scripture. Only by pride is the only way there is a contention. Yeah, it's the only way. Amazing. Okay, finishing. Yes, see, the O is a forwardness of mind. That's very good. I need to hear more. Now, Titus 2:6, the last but one, my sober mind. Likewise, young men, exhort to be sober minded. Sober is the opposite of being under the influence of something, like alcohol. So, make sure that you are not under any influence. Yes. You kill people, you do wrong things. Okay? So, sober-minded, alcohol. How many are been into drinking? Check your neighbor. How many of you are into beer, Guinness? Okay, you were. How many have not stopped? At the back, you've not stopped. Receive your deliverance from poison in Jesus' name. Amen. So, alcohol and any other drug, smoke, the things we smoke. When you smoke weed, don't think that smoking weed is, they are sharing it as medicine, but one of the causes of madness, one of the known causes, schizophrenia, we don't know the cause of many of the cases, but one of the known causes is weed, marijuana. Yes. So if you don't want to go mad, one day I was in the mental hospital, and a mother brought her son who was smoking weed to the mental hospital. And I was a student. And the psychiatrist took us. He told the boy, come. And he took us and the students, and we went to the deepest part of the mental hospital where the patients, some of them were like, they were like animals. And he spoke to the boy, shh, listen. He asked the boy, do you want to come here? He said, if you continue, you will come here. If you continue, you will come here. You'll be surprised that you'll be here. I've never seen mad people like that before. But I was scared. We were all scared. But I've never seen wild people. One day, one of the mental patients attacked a fellow mental patient and took out her eyes. Yes. Yes. It's very dangerous. Took out the two eyes. Yes. So when God is telling us to be sober, young boys, be sober, you must fear alcohol, Guinness, beer, whiskey. Huh? Black label, red label, blue label. Young people, are you listening to me? Recently, I was sitting on a plane. Shh. I'll tell you, hey, listen. I'm about to close. I was sitting by somebody on a plane, and then they brought alcohol. You know, unfortunately, I was sitting by him. So they brought alcohol. And then he asked me, do you drink? I said, I don't drink. I said that in addition to not drinking, it is not a temptation. I told him, what you are drinking, I don't feel like drinking it. I don't have a feeling. It's not like I'm praying about it. Or I have a feeling or I wish I was you. No. I don't know how to drink. Yes. I'm not like struggling or praising. Jesus, let the flight end quickly so that I'll be free. No. That's how you'll be also in Jesus' name. All your life, you see the people drinking alcohol and you say, ah, these people cry. What is wrong with them? Something that causes so many diseases. Why are they struggling with it? Coca-Cola is nicer than beer. Even when you taste, you see that Coca-Cola is nicer than beer. How many have realized that Coca-Cola is nicer than beer? Huh. Then why do they go for something that is bitter? Shh, it's an influence. Tell somebody I'm no more under any influence. Influence you can come under is the influence of somebody else who is talking in your life. So you are not free to decide. Like the person is very powerful to you. When you say, I'm going to church, will you go say, I'm not going? Then he makes the face in the way. Then you also decide not to go. Yes. You are going to that church. Sometimes a friend, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or a friend, or a roommate. The person can be like a drug. The person is influencing your life. Break out of every influence in Jesus' name. No relationship, no friendship should take you away from God. If there is any friend who is influencing you, break out of that friendship. You don't need that friendship. And the person has some type of guiding power to the things that you do. When you say, I'm going to do this, are you sure? I'm joining that church. Are you sure? I'm not going. Are you going? Are you going again? A beloved who takes you from God, who takes you from church, a wife who takes you from God, a husband who takes you, is influencing your life away from the right direction. It's not, the Bible says, be sober. The young man should be sober. Put it back there. A young man like so they should be sober-minded or not under the influence. And the more important you are, the more you must not be under any influence. Yes. Can you imagine if there is a powerful person like a president and he's under the influence of a wicked person who whispers to him that this man is your enemy? Yes. This man is your enemy. This man. It's very difficult to be under the leadership of such people. Because anybody comes to them and speaks. When you are a good leader, you can't just listen to stories. Somebody, there are people who are good at telling stories and guiding. And everybody who is married is guided by your spouse. Whether, even if you are the head, whatever your wife's opinion is, it affects you. Yeah, that's why you must have a flowing person. If she is against what you are doing, it's not easy to carry on. Yeah. And I thank God that my wife has 100% flowed with working for God, serving the Lord, all these, more than 100%. Otherwise, I don't think I would be here. When I said I was starting a church, there's nobody, there's no members in the church, there's nothing, there's no hope, there's no, she was 100%. No, that one, there's not, you can't take it from her up till today. So that is a blessing. But if you are married to somebody, say, we are going to start a church. And the person starts to sing, oh God, our help in ages past. Or starts to sing hymns. Strange hymns in the house. It's an influence. It's a, what are these hymns? Tell somebody, young man, you must be sober. No influence. Yes. Accept God's word. Amen. And finally, you must have a new mind. Wow. A new mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 2. And be renewed. Huh? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must have a new mind about many things. New mind. Colossians 3 verse 10. Have put on the new man or put on the new life. Put on the new life or the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So brothers and sisters, you must be renewed in knowledge. So coming to Christ is all about being transformed by the renewing of the mind that you have. So if you are not learning something new, if you are not learning something and your mind is not changing, then you are not in church. Then you are not in Christ. But when you come to Christ, you always learn new things. I'm learning new things every day. Yes. Yes. Now, recently I realized that God can give miracle money. It's something that I never thought. I've never heard of it. But I'm not against anything. You see, when you see things that are in the Bible, miracles in the Bible, you accept it when it's in the pages. But when it is brought into real life, then you don't accept it. How do you not accept it? You accept the one that's in the pages. But when it is happening in real life. When Jesus took money from the fish's mouth and used it to pay his bills, what was that kind of money? It's a mobile money moving in the water. Huh? It was a mobile money moving in the water. I said, was it not a mobile money moving in the water? It was a mobile money. It was moving in the water. And you ask that, where was this money? Where did the fish get the coin from? The fish got the coin. Maybe somebody dropped the coin in the water. Maybe there are a lot of coins in there. There's a lot of money around, which is nobody's money or which is lost. The money itself is lost. Even banks have a lot of money. People die. People have money. They never claim. Heads of state of country never claim their money. So wherever it comes from, it's coming. It is from somebody you can see, somebody you can't see. 2 days ago, somebody gave me a testimony. He said, when I prophesied money to his phone, he had 20,000 CDs. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Your phone is blessed. Huh. A lot of people are telling me they are going to register mobile money, but they have not registered for mobile money. I've been receiving so many testimonies of miracle money. And is it in the Bible or is it not in the Bible? We are supposed to renew our minds. When you are in the world, the way up is to fight those up. But when you come to church, you have to learn something beautiful. That the way up is to go down. Humble yourself in the church. You will go high. Some of the people that are working for me, you would think they never had jobs in the secular world. Some of them were top. If you tell, I have people that work for me today. They used to go to plane to work in a plane. They go with a plane. They fly to work. Yes. I have people that have worked for me from Wall Street. That they are the people. You see them, you will think that they have not been to school. Hi. But you see, when you humble yourself, you go up in God's world. Don't be big when you come to church. If you want a husband, 3 master keys. Humble yourself, number 2. Humble yourself, number 3. Yes. 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 3 keys. Nobody wants to marry a proud person. Yeah. You have to have a new mind. When you are, what do you call it? In the world, and you want money, you keep. But when you come to God, you have to renew your mind. You give. Give, it shall be given to you. Give, it shall be. That's what you're supposed to have. New ways of thinking. Before I came to church, you see, I grew up, here's my father, here's my mother, and we were 5 children. I grew up like that till my father died. I never had any other thing. Here's my father, here's my mother, here's the children. That's what I saw. As I've grown, I've come to see that God does provide other fathers and mothers. I didn't know it, but I had to renew. So that's when you read this, it says, my beloved son Timothy. I had to learn it. That this person can also be your father. Because I didn't need any father. I didn't see it in my life. So you have to learn new. It's the newness of your mind that transforms your life. That's what it says, Romans 12:2. Renew, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because your mind is the box with the computer. It's the data systems. So when it gets new, then your life changes. Yeah. To get a husband is not just hair, this, look, whatever. It's not like that. You will learn it. Yeah. To be happy in marriage, it's not just, look at what it says. Only by pride cometh contention. I've proved it to you. I gave you an example of myself and my assistant, Bishop Saki. I gave you an example of the president and the vice president. Then I come to the marriage, and then you point at me and say I'm a feminist or what is that? What are those words? Anti-feminist. Yes, whatever your English words are. When I show you the word, instead of accepting it, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Have a new mind. And your whole life, I tell you, your whole marriage, your whole happiness, everything is going to go skyrocketing. Just by a new mind. But you know, one of the things that's very difficult for people to have a new mind. Over the years I've seen, people don't easily change their minds. It takes years of hardships and sufferings. And so that when they are older in their 60s, they say, if I had learned this, if I had known this, Bishop, why didn't I meet you earlier too? Oh, there are people meeting me earlier. I'm sharing. People are not listening. Learn it now. Learn it now. Your life is changing by the renewing of your mind. That's why podcast is important. That's why Bible reading is important. That's why read your Bible, pray every day is important. God is changing your life forever. Stand to your feet, lift your hands. Say the all louder. That's a forward mind, isn't it? A ready mind, an eager mind, a willing mind. Okay, let me do it again. Okay, I finished preaching. That is a forward, that's eagerness. Okay, my time is up. No more preaching. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here today, look, lay your hands on your mind so that your mind, Father, thank you for the renew. Every blockage to a new mind. I curse the blockage now in Jesus' name. Receive a new mind. Be renewed and be transformed totally. Let the word of God penetrate your mind and be transformed. From today, you are declared you are no more a stubborn person, but you are a flowing, eager, good person with a renewable mind by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus, lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. You want to be born again. Say, you are not a born again Christian, but you want to be born again. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God now. Then lift your hands. God bless you. I see all your hands. If you've lifted your hand, come to me in the front here. Come. Come.
Come unto Jesus.
Come.
Give him.
Come all the way.
Today.
Come, I want to pray with you. You want to give your life to God. Let him have his way in your life. Let us pray. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Say it after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. From today, I am your child. From today, I am your servant. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Please forgive me for all my sins. Today, I turn around and I belong to God. I will serve Jesus. I will follow Jesus for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for saving me right now. Please write my name in the book of life. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you one of my books as a gift. Now, you guys, you seem to be Rasta men, but you are reminding me of one of my pastors. He was a Rasta man, just like, his name is Tato. He was a Rasta man like you. Today he's a man of God. I believe that one day you'll be men of God as well. Amen. Maybe that's a plan God has for you. He has brought you here today to change your life forever, to save you. Amen. How many believe that these wonderful Rasta men can become great men of God? Beautiful. What's your name? Huh? AY. Wow. And what's your name? Spencer. Beautiful. AY and Spencer. No, you know, some of my pastors have been showing me their pictures. Some of them were Rasta men, different things. So when I see people, I say, wow. It's a powerful thing. Maybe this is happening again. Beautiful. Can you imagine yourself becoming a pastor? You've not thought about it, isn't it? But maybe that's your destiny. How many are excited for our two brothers here? Beautiful. Father, bless these ones. Let their lives never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may go. But when we close, please, come to this. You see the red service, the people that are waving there, come to that side. I'm going to pray. We are going to come and meet with you there and pray with you before you go. Please, don't go away. Just come there 2 minutes and then you are on your way. All right? Give them a mighty clap offering, all of you, and you may be seated. It's time for communion.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood. which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. This is the holy meal, the meal of God. Oh, it will sustain you, it will make you whole. Oh, when I see the blood, oh, I will pass over you.
Your bread. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life, eternal life. Amen. If not eternal life, life. Amen. Stand up if you have it. Life. Listen, are you with me? How many of you believe that this is not just symbolic, but it has some kind of power? Do you know why we say so? Because the Bible says that those who were eating it and drinking it unworthily had three problems. They were getting weak, they were getting sick, and some died in 1 Corinthians 11. Sam, put it up. He says, they shall be guilty. And for this cause, continue, many are weak and sick, and many sleep. All right? Put the scripture on, please. Oh, carry on further down. Verse 30. It's a J here. For this cause, many are weak and sickly, and many sleep or are dead. So this communion is not just bread, and it's not just the power of flour, but when we pray over it, it becomes something else. And that thing has some kind of power in it, and it's supernatural. So instead of becoming weak, you become stronger. Instead of becoming sick, you'll be healed of whatever disease you have. And instead of dying, physical dying, you see, it's not just a spiritual thing, but your life is extended. Derek Prince, a great man of God, he said that every church he went to, they didn't have communion enough. And you've noticed that we are now having communion all that every Sunday. But he said that he found it not enough, so he used to have communion every day, he and his wife. So, it's interesting that it has taken us so many years to discover this great revelation. I believe that a power is coming into your life as we pray. Lift it up. Father, thank you for this bread. We receive it. We believe that it is life and healing and strength. Anybody here who is destined for the grave, who is destined for the grave, by this communion today, I cancel that appointment in Jesus' name. I say, instead of dying, you are living. Instead of dying before your time, I declare your life is extended by 10 years. In the name of Jesus. Anyone here destined to die in an aeroplane, I unbook you from that flight. In the name of Jesus. anyone destined to die by fire, I disconnect you from that experience. Anyone destined to die by poisoning, I declare that poison neutralized as you take this body, the body of Jesus Christ. Father, let your power flow into everyone here. Let healing come to every sickness, every disease. Let life flow into every body and every being here by your great power. Thank you. Thank you that we are healed of what the doctors cannot heal us of. Thank you that this is more than vitamins. This is more than minerals. This is more than carbohydrates. It is your body. It is your flesh. It is your life, Lord. We are receiving it at this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. He said, when I see the blood, listen, do you know what is the cause of all our problems? Our sins. Our sins are many. Today, I have the answer to your sins and my sins, my mistakes and your mistakes. Father, as we lift up this blood, Lord, we've made terrible mistakes. Mistakes that have taken us backwards. Mistakes that have taken us sideways. Mistakes that have deviated our lives from its original course. Now, let this blood neutralize every mistake. Let it wipe out and wash away every sin, the sins of our youth, the sins of our lives, the sins of our middle age. Oh God, we receive the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Lift your hands. Receive your blessing. Your phones as well. Lift your phones. Father, thank you for the blessing that has come upon our lives. Lord, this phone represents communication. We declare that dry seasons are over. From today, receive good news. Better than you have been having up till now. Receive phone calls. Receive WhatsApp messages. Receive text messages. Of long-awaited issues, let things be resolved in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be resolution to long-standing crises of your life. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Be blessed. Now, this phone represents your possessions. Father, renew all the possessions of your people. Whatever in our life is old and is not working, receive new microwaves, new blenders, new kettle, new furniture, new of everything in the name of Jesus. New televisions. Whatever represents poverty. Some of us, our phones represent our poverty. Lord, as we lift it up, let poverty be taken away from our midst in the name of Jesus. Let poverty be taken away from our midst in the name of Jesus. Let the curse be taken away from our midst in the name of Jesus. Now receive flourishing and receive blessing from the Lord. You'll not lack anything. Anything that is necessary. When I sent you, lack ye anything? You shall not lack from today. You'll not lack good news. You'll not lack friendships. You'll not lack good things. You'll not lack good messages. Somebody here, you've never heard I love you before. But this week you hear I love you. In the name of Jesus. Some of you have never heard I want you. From now you begin to hear I want you. I need you. I like you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Put your phone down. Father, I speak into the winds that are carrying the rains. The rains of abundance, the rains of blessing, the rains of increase. I command the clouds to appear. I command the rains to begin to fall. Rains begin to fall. Rains begin to fall. Rains begin to fall. Rains begin to fall. Let things grow. Let things work. Let things grow. Let things work. Let doors open. Let things work. Let things grow. Let things work. I command green field, green trees, green fields, green grass. In the name of Jesus, let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow upon your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now pick your phone again. Receive miracle money on your phone. Receive money in your bank accounts. Receive money in your pockets. Receive good news. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord Jesus, the one who commanded money into the mouth of the fish, may he command monies into your hands in Jesus' name. May the Lord Jesus, who fed 5,000 miraculously and provided over 200 penny worth, may he provide for you suddenly and miraculously. Receive new cars. Receive new houses. Receive lands. Receive contracts. Receive the blessings of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Your dry season is over. Your dry season is over. It's beginning to rain. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. God bless you. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will happen in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.